Blog Talk Radio.
Take a Road Productions.
And welcome to the URN Radio Show. I am GDI, and joining me is...
Oh, Martin Bravo of Bravo Paranormal.
What's up, man?
Oh, man. Just living it.
So how did your investigation go last night?
Dude, it was, you know, Stacy and I, there was like three groups, and you're given an hour each pretty much in this building, right? And during our hour, Stacy and I had like a group of like four or five people. And so these people, I mean, they're looking for a good thrill. You know, they've never ghost hunted before. So I told them, I was like, you know what? I was like, we're going to try something different. I was like, we're going to go walking around the building, and y'all let me know when we should stop and ask questions, because 9 times out of 10, when you get a gut feeling that something's not right, that's when you get the best evidence. And they're like, oh, okay, cool. So we stopped in our first room, and there wasn't really much going on. And then we headed out. We turned the ghost box on, and then some girl kept coming on the ghost box, and she was like, she kept saying her, she said her name, right? What was her name? That girl that came, Jenny. She kept saying Jenny, and I was like, "Well, Jenny, I was like, if we really want to talk to you, what room should we go to?" And then she said, "Up." I was like, "You mean upstairs?" She said, "Yes." I was like, "All right." Now there's four rooms upstairs. The first room or the last room? She was like, "Last." I was like, "Oh, well, let's go upstairs into the last room." We go up there, and one of the guests, which I thought was cool, man, like. This lady and this couple don't do any investigating, but they had an ovulus, right? So I was like, awesome, you know, we have an ovulus. So we're putting out all of Jeremy's periscopes on the bed and stuff in the hallway, and then I was like, is Jenny up here? You know, and we're just doing an EVP session, and all of a sudden the ovulus said, mommy. And we're like, whoa. And then so this lady, she's like, I'm not feeling right, guys. She's like, I'm feeling really sad. And then I was like, keep it up. I was like, keep telling us how you're feeling, because she might be affecting you only. And so she pretty much told us that she was feeling like real sad and lonely. And yeah. And then we turned the ghost box on, and the ghost box kept saying Jenny and dead, and she got burnt. And like, it was crazy, man. And then so we finally left that room after it felt like activity died down a little bit. And then we went into the next room, and we had been there like maybe 5 minutes, and probably about a good 5 of the 6 periscopes that we had all came on at the same time. I was like, oh, man. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And as you know how Jenny had been burned in the fireplace?
Yeah,
Stacy had put a periscope down by the fireplace, and, you know, they radioed us and told us our time was up. And, you know, we were all saying goodbye to Jenny, because she was the one that reacted to us the most. And Stacy was like, all right, Jenny, well, we'll see you later. Thanks for talking with us. And then the periscope just went off. And I was like, wow. It's like, that's awesome. So, yeah, it was amazing, man. We got lots of personal experiences throughout the night, but... The group we had was, like, so freaking awesome, man. They were, like, everybody was just really cohesive to each other, and there wasn't no, you know, like, belligerent people. So it was pretty cool.
That's awesome, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool. not much going on here. So, yeah, did some four-wheel riding yet today. That was my weekend. Watched Will bust his ass in the water. He waded out to see how deep it was. And, yeah, it's pretty damn deep.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so.
That's crazy.
Oh, yeah, man. We got the 4th of July coming up this weekend, this Thursday.
Man. Tell me about it, man. I got my job's giving me Thursday off, and I get to leave Wednesday at 4 o'clock. I can't wait. Cannot wait.
My work is giving me Thursday and Friday off, so I have a 4-day weekend.
Oh, cool, man. Heck yeah.
So, Pops and I are going to go fishing, and then me and Jeff are going to take a road trip and Pops on Saturday, so that'll be cool. And so, yeah, man, I'm going to go to Vicksburg Battlefield. I haven't been to I've been to a lot of the Civil War battlefields growing up when we took vacation every summer and took a road trip to Ohio where all of our family is, and we'd always go different routes so that we could check out different Civil War battlefields. And
It's been since
I was 16 or so since I've been to a Civil War battlefield. So now that all the knowledge that I have now. So we're gonna walk around with EVP recorders while we're checking out the battlefield. So that ought to be interesting, man.
Oh, yeah, man. That'd be awesome. I'd like to hear some of those EVPs get out there, because you know you're going to get some cool stuff.
I'm going to ask a Confederate soldier to take a run at Jeff.
Nice. So I'm assuming Jeff's not on tonight.
He's on his way back from Tennessee. He went to Graceland this weekend. He was in Memphis, Tennessee, hanging out with Elvis. He sent me a damn picture of him sitting on the crapper at Graceland.
Nice.
So, yeah, I guess.
Nice.
Man, I watched a new show. It's on a channel called Destination America on satellite, and they have this show called Mountain Monsters, and it's all these trappers and hunters that have started this group, and they investigate different monster myths, you know, across the country, across the Appalachian Mountains, which run all the way down to Georgia, and they're out of West Virginia, and they went up into Ohio. They have what they call the grass monster, which is the cousin of Bigfoot, but it's 8 to 9 feet tall. It's and about 7 to 1,000 pounds.
Oh,
700
wow.
to 1,000 pounds, and they showed a video of this hunter trying to get up to his deer stand, and they caught the grass monster, and this sucker was huge. And, man, I love that show, man. It was pretty badass. They go out there, they all have guns, and they were out in the woods, and they come across this old abandoned house. And they find Bigfoot prints going into the house, and they go to the back room, and the back room's got all these limbs and shit piled in it like a nest.
Uh-huh.
And while we're in there, apparently this thing was outside the building, either throwing rocks at it or actually shaking the house. But it was pretty badass. You hear this loud blood-curling roar kind of thing, and you know, all of them, you know, about crap their pants because they've been out in the woods all their lives and never experienced this. So
wow,
that's a pretty cool show, man. I was like, this is one of the best shows I've seen when it comes to crypto stuff, you know. And it's on Saturday nights.
Man, I need to get TV again. I've been missing it. Like, you know, when we moved out here, I made a promise to myself. Like, you know what? I'm not going to be boring. We're going to do stuff every weekend, and we're just not going to be that kind of family that watches TV. You know what, man? That's a lie. Like, ever since we haven't paid for TV, I've not wanted to watch TV more in my life than now. Like, I'm at that breaking point where I'm about to just get satellite and just be done with it.
Right.
It's funny, man, because, you know, I there are times when I don't miss it and I'm actually happy we don't have it. And then there's times like right now when you're telling me there's like an awesome show on and I would probably get hooked on watching it. I'm like, man, let me stop being cheap and just get some TV.
Yeah, man, you get hooked when you start watching different shows. My DVR just works overtime just about every day. In fact, it's recording two different shows right now.
Yeah, back when we lived in at Clara, like the other side of McKinney, we had a DVR, and man, I'm telling you, we were recording like eight shows a night. Like, if it wasn't ghost hunting, it was magic, and if it wasn't magic, it was HBO, and it was like, you know, there was not ever a time that TV was not on. So I was like, you know, once we left there, I was like, you know what, we need to stray away from the television for a little bit, but I'm thinking now would be a really good time to pick that back up, because there's a lot of good shows on that, and I know everybody hates on Ghost Adventures, because, you know, they're like, but you know what, they're a show for entertainment. And they're not a show for, you know, this is how to investigate. And I actually like that show. I think it's awesome.
The only beef I have with them is the fact that they haven't put out a new episode in about 4 months.
Oh, yeah. I think I do. I did read that the new episodes are going to start in August, right?
Do what?
Yeah. The new episodes are going to start in August.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've been filming their ass off, but they haven't been putting anything on TV. And I'm just like, what the hell, man? I used to enjoy my Friday evenings watching them do something, you know, and all they have on right now is repeat.
Right.
Let me see here. Okay. All right. I was making sure we had all the EVPs for tonight's guest loaded in. And
nice.
Tonight's guest is, and Chris, when I put you on, you can correct me if I say it wrong. Chris Melicon, founder of Paranormal Society of New Orleans. He lives on the West Bank of New Orleans. Chris loves helping people in the paranormal side of the world. He believes there are different spectrums in this world. You just have to have the right kind of glasses to see it. Chris loves seeking and exploring the paranormal in order to find out the truth and answers to questions that we all have. So, and I believe he is on hold, so let's get him on the air here.
How are you doing?
With us?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, how's it going?
Pretty good. How y'all doing tonight?
Not.
I have my other three investigators on, too. They should be calling in any minute.
Okay, I see
you.
Hey, guys.
Y'all there?
Hey. Yeah, I'm here.
All right.
So, yeah, that profile's on my Facebook. But you should be joining us is Ken Wiggins. He's actually the co-founder. Him and I started this thing together. And you got Nick Sherlow, who's an investigator. Actually, I don't know if you got the pictures that I sent you. He's actually the one that got those. And Megan Kahn's, she's actually Miss New Orleans of 2013. So she's one
I'm
of
here.
Our investigators. She's here. So. That's us. We also we have other members of the group that can't be on with us tonight. We have Ryan Tolan. He's our equipment manager. We have Lisa Wiggins. She's our EVP analyst. Does a great job. Sean Hampton, investigator, and John Gualtieri. He's our investigator. And that's us.
Wow. How long have y'all been together?
Well, we haven't been together that long. We just, back in May, Ken and I actually formed this new team. I have been investigating for a while now and decided to branch off and start a new team. And I actually went and investigated Ken's house. We had a lot of activity. And we kind of just hit it off, and we kept in touch after that for a while. And when I decided to start, you know, this group, I gave him a call and said, please help. And he was more than happy to oblige. And we kind of just hit the ground running, you know. So we have Southdown Plantation coming up July 20th.
Nice.
I don't know if y'all ever heard of that place, but it's actually a museum today. Deep South Paranormal actually investigated it on their show.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so we didn't even know that when we inquired about it. We went there, and the director, Rachel, she was just great, and she told us about it, told us how great and amazing they were, good bunch of guys there, and took a walk through. The place is just amazing, you know. It's just amazing.
Sweet.
I love hearing
hey,
about
guys.
This is Ken.
Hey,
I'm on the what's up?
Not much. How are you doing tonight?
Fine, yourself.
Doing great, doing great. Still a little tired from investigating last night, but I'll manage.
Yeah, you and me both.
Try three theme parks in 5 days with two kids.
Oh man, I don't know if in my old age I could do it anymore.
Yeah, I hear you. I'm the old man of the group.
Yeah, Ken's brittle. We got to be careful with him.
Well, you guys are located in a heck of a place to have a paranormal team in New Orleans.
Yes, we are, and it's fun. Our backyard is real fun. We're actually spread out. You know, I'm in New Orleans, so is Ryan and John. Ken's right outside of Morgan City, and Megan and Nick are right in there, Slidell. So we kind of add to it because we get requests from all over the place. And we're having investigators kind of spread out through the south of the state. You know, we can cover a lot more ground. So that's really beneficial to have.
Now, with investigating over in Louisiana, I know that you got a little bit of a different background when it comes to people and locations and whatnot, because the history is a little bit different than say Texas, where all of us are, and because you got so many different cultures, you got so many different type of belief systems down there, and you know you got your voodoo, your hoodoo, all this kind of stuff, so. I know for you guys, you probably have to do a lot of, you know, digging when it comes to learning different things that, you know, because you never know what you're going to come across in dealing with spirits over there in Louisiana.
That's correct.
Yeah. Ken, I think, Ken, can
yes?
You're the knowledgeable one about all the different spiritual cultures in our area.
Yes. I mean, it's just you have so many different religions and spiritual beliefs around here. You know, you got your voodoo, your pagan, you got your Wiccan, Catholics, your Baptists, and like the host was saying, it's right, there's such a wide variety of religions and beliefs around here. You do have to do your background, your research. You have to understand why they do what they do. So when you go out to investigate in their beliefs for their spirits or whatever, that way you can respect them. And it ends up making the clients happy that you're knowledgeable about their beliefs.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean,
what's up,
I'm
everyone?
Pretty sure
What's up?
Not much.
Yeah, I'm sure that knowing your background before you go into, say, a residential, it helps out quite a bit in knowing what you're really dealing with, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
It's also hard to keep a straight face sometimes because some people have some really strange beliefs, and you hear some stories that kind of just blow your mind. And it's like, no, all right, keep your facial expression straight, okay? Don't look at them like they're crazy, and don't do this because what they really believe is
true. Why do you guys look at me like I'm crazy?
Man. It's funny, when McKinnon and I met, the first story he pretty explained to me was, I don't know if you've ever heard of an elemental, or y'all know the mythology behind that. And he was telling me how he had seen one night. And I was just like, I'd never heard of an elemental. I was just like, oh my God, what is this guy talking about? And so, you know, we actually caught evidence of it, and then, you know, I called a friend of mine, he explained to me what it was all about, but at first, I was ignorant of it. You know, I didn't know anything about it. And he's explaining the experience he had, and I'm just like, oh, my God, is this guy for real? You know, it blew my mind.
I actually had no clue, and the several people that I did tell the story to thought I was completely crazy. The best way I could explain it was an E.T.-type-looking creature that was, I mean, I couldn't see any kind of I couldn't see what it looked like. It was dark outside, but I did watch it from anywhere from 35 to 45 seconds approach me until I got scared and hauled butt inside.
Oh, wow.
Then when I told the story to Chris, and he contacted Jeremy with Ghost Quest, which is a team that we're teaming up with, he explained to me that it was an elemental, and I never heard of this in my life. Never heard of it. And he explained to me what to do to appease this creature, and I do it with much respect.
Wow. Yeah, see, I up until this past year, I didn't really know too much about elementals because, like you, I had never heard about it. And so we went to investigate this plane crash that happened out in Kauffman, Texas. And Kauffman is kind of like way out in the middle of nowhere, so we're like in the country. And right. So we're like in the middle of this field, and we're like off it was not a main highway, but we're off a highway, you know. And it was dark, but it was still bright enough to be able to see your surroundings a little bit. And I turned my head and I see this like little dude. The best way I could describe it would be like a shaven monkey. Like it was just crouched over, it had a tail, and it was just walking along, minding its own business, like. And I look over at it, I'm like, what is this, you know? And then a car came and was passing by us, and as soon as the headlights of the car hit that area that little monkey thing was in, it disappeared.
Uh-huh.
And wow. I was like, you know, and the weird thing is, like, usually when you're ghost hunting and you encounter something like that, like, say if you just see a full-body apparition, that you're going to get a certain feeling, like, oh, this is not good, or... Oh, I kind of feel peaceful knowing that this lady, you know, I had no emotional feeling towards this, whatever it was at all. Like I didn't feel like it was negative. I didn't feel like it was positive. It was just, I just saw it, you know. I thought it was crazy.
It possibly wasn't an elemental encounter you had. I believe they're also believed, if I'm not mistaken, to be shapeshifters. They could be friendly. They're very protective of their area, and some people believe that they can actually be a demonic force.
Oh, wow.
I don't believe it because whenever I experienced it, the only reason I got scared was because it was coming my direction. But I had no feeling, like you said, I wasn't happy, I wasn't sad, scared, or anything like that until it was within 20 feet of me. It was time
to go. They're known to be pranksters too. That's what they're really known for.
Yeah.
To be like causing mischief.
Yeah.
We get so much of this at my house. You know, knocking on the floor.
I actually believe, I believe, this is me personally, okay? When we put evidence out there, we really don't say, you know, this is what it is. It's just odd. You know? But I personally believe that we caught it on camera. Now, we had our IR cam set up, and this was a kid's room.
and then you see this ball of light on the ground, and it's kind of waddling, and it moves from the left of the room and circles around the bed. And we actually have that on our YouTube channel, and it's just, it kind of waddles. We see this thing, and it was just kind of, it kind of blew our minds, you know, about what it was, especially with the whole elemental theme already going on. So, you know, we decided to post it as evidence, and we were kind of just flabbergasted by the whole situation, you know. You're not going to find them in the city or anything because they protect the land. That's what they're mainly there for, to protect the land. If you can really appease them, like Kim was talking about, planting strawberry bush or some kind of fruit tree, and you say, hey, this is yours. You know, if you're experiencing activity and you do that, activity should stop, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah,
but
yeah, for sure.
I also the thing about the video that apparently Chris may have forgot about is after this entity's walking along the footboard, you can see it's roughly 5 to 7 seconds. It disappears out of the camera sight. It walks along the edge of my bed, apparently, and turns into an orb and just shoots off into the type right-hand corner of the screen.
Huh.
Coincidence? Not sure, but I don't think it's a coincidence. I think it actually morphed back into energy state.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah.
You know, I know a lot of people like dismiss orbs and stuff like that, but when you have something that shifts into the an orb state and then flies off, I mean that's something entirely different.
Yeah. I'm on the fence about orbs because they're so controversial. It could be so many different things, but if you was to get a perfect shot of a, let's call it an orb, and you would be able to zoom in, and you could just see, like, the balls of static, the prism of colors and stuff, then I would label it as an orb. Other than that, no, I'll just debunk it as something different.
Right, right.
Yeah, the best way to, you know, with orbs, unless the orb, say you take a photograph of a person, and they're holding an EVP recorder, and there's an orb around them. And at the same time, you know, that camera's got a timestamp on it, and same time on your recorder, at the same exact moment you get an EVP, then that could be something. But, you know,
exactly.
A lot of folks out there, they post a lot of photographs of orbs, you know, and like you said, it could be anything. And unless that orb in that photograph or in that video is linked to some activity, say you see an orb swoop down and the K2 meter goes off or any of your pieces of equipment start lighting up and you pick that up on video, then that's something more credible. Yeah. But
even with the light source as well, it can affect the light source. So it goes beyond just our ghost hunting equipment as well.
Yeah.
But
totally agree.
We don't necessarily post orbs. I don't think we have even any orb pictures that we post because it's so controversial. Unless we've got definitive proof, like you just said, with an EVP or a K2 meter that's recorded or some kind of fluctuation into the video image on a camera system, you know, we ain't going to post stuff like that.
Well, the funny thing is,
last night we were on an investigation. We had split the group up because, you know, Megan's on vacation, and Ken and a couple other investigators had some projects they were doing last night, and we actually went out to Petsmore, Louisiana. It was a 3.5-hour drive. So we went out there, and I got scratched last night, and Jeremy from Ghost Quest, he actually got slapped in the face, and it was crazy. But dealing with the orb thing, one of the investigators set takes some pictures, and she noticed every picture she took with Jeremy in it, there was the orb on his back. And then she kept following him, and she must have took like 20 pictures, and there was the orb on his back in the different spot each time. And it was just like, and you know, it was crazy because we got touched last night, got scratched up. He says, I felt the cold spot down by my knee, and my whole body got cold. And I told Jeremy about it, and he reached down, and he goes, I feel it. Then all of a sudden, he goes,
I feel like somebody just punched me in my face. My face hurts. Burning. And I said, hold on. And we were doing a spirit box session at the time, and I put the flashlight on his face, and I saw a little tiny bruise, and then I sat there and watched it get darker. It was insane.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we got a picture of it on our Facebook page, and you can see underneath his eyes black, he's got a black mark going down his cheek, and it's red. So that night was crazy. And a couple of two of the EVPs you're going to hear tonight is from last night, actually.
Fresh oh, cool, cool.
What about your incident, Chris? Tell me about what happened.
What's going on, where I got scratched?
Yes.
I was sitting on the couch. We did two locations last night because it was too hard to play. I was sitting on the couch doing a spare box, and we were actually getting some activities in the spare box, and I was asking questions. All of a sudden, I felt my left shoulder start to sting. And I was like, it was nothing. It didn't feel bad. Then it got worse, and then it got worse until it kind of felt like it was on fire a little bit. So I go, and I was like, my shoulder hurts. And I pulled my sleeve up, and then you go, you can see a scratch mark on my thing, and you can actually, another one form. Because when I looked at it, I saw one. And then by the time I took my shirt off, and Tammy, the Ghost Quest Paranormal investigator, came over and looked at it, there was two more. So... But we actually don't think there was anything demonic there. We just think it was spirits that didn't like us. And we didn't get any demonic things. I mean, we ran into a little girl, and we ran into a couple of adult males. So, we cleansed the house, and right when we left, the client messaged me, said they already started to feel better. So that's where we're at with that right now. But it was just last night. We didn't get home until like 8 o'clock in the morning.
I know how that feels, man.
Yeah.
I think I'm the oddball out. I don't get those experiences. I'm the one that everybody says is crazy. I get messages while I sleep that I don't know anything about, and they are real.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I'm probably the oddball out of the group, I guess.
Megan, I've never seen Megan get frightened or she's comfortable. She just seems like she's... like okay when everything, we'll have activity going on and stuff like this, and she's just like, oh, that's nice. Like,
I'm very
like,
polite
oh, look at
to them.
That's great.
We had a very interesting situation happen to us last night. Well, it was me, Lisa, Chris, and Sean and Nick, we were headed towards Laura Violet Plantation. It's about a 2-mile country road in the middle of Canefield. Before you get there, they have 50 to 60 some odd slave houses still in existence, along with the plantation, old school slash church. It's one of the largest freestanding plantations, I believe, in America to date. But it was about halfway there. I was doing about 35 miles an hour. And I felt the accelerator separate from my foot, and the truck just started picking up speed like I was about to pass somebody. There was nobody down the road, and it was not me. And I was like, holy crap, this is not supposed to happen. So that was a weird occurrence that we had last night. That's never happened before.
Huh.
Yeah, it's a little dangerous as well.
Right.
I tell them that's what you get for buying a Nissan, And I was in the Chevy.
Yeah, and I was
even worse.
Chevy. But Nick, I tell you what, he is the photographer, man. There's something about him, spirits, and a camera. They unite somehow. I mean, we can have 500 people outside taking pictures. He could take one per picture and get stuff that nobody catches. Somehow he does this.
They are
amazing.
Very attracted. They are very attracted to Nick for some reason, because I investigate with Nick on a regular basis because we're very close to each other in Slidell, so we can meet up, whenever we want. But every time that we go out, it can be we'll be in a cemetery, and literally it will be dead silent. And all of a sudden something, we had one night, a woman came over to the spirit box and said, Nick, I love you. And I'm like, dang, Nick. But it never fails, and I know Chris and Ken can attest to it, because I call them and I'm like, you're never going to believe what happened to Nick. Oh gosh, yeah. You're just not going to believe this. But I mean, it's I love investigating with everybody, but there's definitely something that sets Nick apart from all of us. That
he has
a very special gift, I think, that maybe they just feel comfortable with him. Maybe they relate to him in some way, but Nick is awesome at what he does.
Have y'all seen the pictures that I sent y'all?
What pictures?
The pictures that, I didn't know y'all some pictures. I don't know if y'all got them.
Okay.
Oh, you talking about the pictures you sent me?
Yeah.
Oh.
I've been gone all day, so I haven't had a chance to look. I'll have to look at them here and meet.
Well,
definitely worth it.
Yeah, they're actually getting a lot of recognition all around. It's one, call it the screamer face. It's Nick taking a picture in a cemetery, and right next to a tree, you see a full body apparition. You know what I'm saying? Looking back at Nick, you can see the teeth. It looks like he's screaming, and right back at Nick. Call it the screamer face. And some people disagree with me. It's debatable. But I see two children next to him. And there's another one where you're looking
picture.
At a grave headstone, and on top of that headstone is a clear child's face. So those pictures are kind of like, you know.
And that tree picture, it also looks like the apparition is wearing like a bishop's hat or something. And come to find out, that location is St. Genevieve's Parish for the Catholic Church. And they had a reverend named Francis Belay that came to Slidell in 1912 to help St. Genevieve establish their parish there. And there's a huge monument on a heart-shaped little island in this area that's dedicated, you know, to him. And he was a French Benedictine monk. And for some reason, I just feel, and I'm pretty sure Nick agrees with me, but we feel like it's probably him still looking over, you know, his face.
I talked to an archaeologist cemeterian, and he told me more. He went deeper into the story about him. He actually fell in love with an Indian there at that time, and he actually went to get permission from the church to marry her, and they refused it. And then shortly after that, she died. There's a lot of holes in the story, you know, but it's just from what he told me. It just seems like, you know, he came there to protect people, and people are like, it's a demon, it's this, and I'm like, no, I actually don't think so. I think he's actually the protector over the cemetery there.
Is Nick on the line?
I was just about to get there. Hey, Nick, why don't you let everybody know about your special photography abilities?
All I can really tell you is when I feel like it's the right time to take a picture, I just snap away. I don't know myself.
It works.
It's just somehow I always get something in almost every picture I take. 90% of the pictures I take, I get something in it.
That's awesome.
I tell you what, I'm pretty sure every last one of us that has been on any kind of investigation with Nick has learned something.
Yeah.
That's true. That was funny. One time we had the spirit box and we were getting claims of a shadow in the backyard. And we went in the backyard to the corner. And then Nick kind of slouched over and asked the question. And something, and a voice came through the spirit box and said, "Stand up straight." that was funny. I laughed. "If you better stand up straight." He's like, "No."
Yes, Nick definitely has a very special guest.
Yeah, I've been talking to Nick about this gift, and I believe that I'm trying to enlighten him about this gift, teach him somewhat about it, and he needs to embrace it for the good and for the bad. You have to accept both when you have a gift. He needs to learn it and run with it. He really does.
Now,
he's a chosen
truly. We have a caller that has a question for everybody, so I'm going to put Joey online here.
Oh God! I hope it's not
Joey,
my husband.
Hey,
Joey,
are you there?
Yep.
Hey, how you doing, Joey?
I'm doing quite well. You know, just burning some incense, trying to get the feng shui energy going. But my question is, what ways do you spiritually protect yourself before and after an investigation?
That's a good question.
As for Nick and I know when we go out, we say, you know, a little bit of a prayer, and as we're leaving, we also ask that, you know, nothing comes with us because we don't want to bring anything into our homes that don't need to be there. And that's
simply,
our personal.
Very
our
simply
personal
way
away.
To put it.
Yeah,
is,
I kind of learned
doesn't matter the,
there. Go ahead,
absolutely
Nick.
Very cool. If you truly believe in what you say to protect yourself from anything following you, I honestly believe it will work. Because
no
it's
matter
all,
what
every, everything
is
about
or
religion
anything.
Is about belief.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I totally agree with it. I've done my fair share of those things myself.
Mm-hmm. I kind of learned by trial and error with the whole thing. I've been told by a medium that I have a female spirit attached to me. My second ever investigation. My second ever investigation. I was an atheist pretty much all my life. I'm 30. I must be 30 this month. And when I was 26, I kind of started believing in God. So I was an atheist all the way up to that point. And so, of course, let God in your life and start asking all these questions. That actually got me into paranormal investigations. I used to not do anything, you know, because I still was a skeptic. And going on my second investigation, I was a skeptic. And didn't get any activity at all, nothing. I come home, didn't get nothing, going over the evidence. The next day, there was just a different feeling in my house that I started feeling. I started hearing these voices in my house, started getting activity in my house, and it was just not good. Then all of a sudden I'm like, okay, now what I do is I learned how to cleanse the house, and I believed it and got rid of it, and I've had, you know, I still didn't do anything. I would just say, hey, no spirit can attach themselves to me. But I still had spirituality problems. Like Ken said, you really have to believe in it, and I did. So I would just say, okay, no spirit can attach themselves to me, and there's been a couple of different times where I've come home and brought something with me. I'm kind of getting spiritually strong now to where nothing can enter my home.
Not to cut you off, but you're definitely spiritually strong because I can feel your energy pulsing through the phone.
Well, I appreciate that. I hope I'm spiritually strong now. You know, I'm practicing one. We did a demonic case about a month ago almost, and we went out there two times, and the first time, crazy activity. You're going to hear it when the host plays it. His name is Damien, and I had just closed my house the hours before I went to this investigation. And when I was home, I was completely fine, upbeat, positive attitude. But when I would leave my house, I would be upset, angry, agitated, you know, definitely know when something's wrong when your own boss comes up to you at work and says, what's wrong with you? So, it has.
And then it's like one of those moments where it's like, what's wrong with you? And you're too scared to tell your boss because you knew he wouldn't understand.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, they don't understand. But it's all about learning and growing and just doing what you do, especially you know, what you do, what we do, we go into some of the, we love residentials because we love helping people. That's all the reason that Ken and I formed this, you know, just to help people because there's a lot of people out here there who are scared when they're having activity. Who are they going to call? Because they can call certain people and they're like, oh, there's something wrong with you. You know, you're crazy. You're this. And they're so scared of being judged, they just learn to live with it and live in misery, you know. So that's why we formed, so we could help the residentials out. We might go to a plantation or a historical site every now and then because we live, you know, in New Orleans and Louisiana, but our backbone is residentials. And we know we go to some very sketchy places spiritually and physically. So we always have to prepare ourselves both ways.
Yeah.
Well,
I find that a lot too, actually. Being where in where I'm at, it's the haunted borough of all of the four boroughs. So it's kind of crazy.
Well, thanks, Joey, for calling in.
Yeah, no problem.
And if you got any more questions, just ask them in chat, and we'll ask them on air. But thanks so much for calling.
All right, Joey.
Take care, guys.
Thank you, Joey.
Keep it real.
Thank you, Joey. Take care of yourself.
Later, man.
All right. That's one thing with residentials, you really don't know what you're getting yourself into every time you undertake a new residential, because it's dealing with family. A lot of the time, you know, they have never had a paranormal team come to their home. So, you know, it's a lot different. Like you said, it's a lot different ballgame than going to an historical place or a place where a lot of paranormal investigations have happened.
Yeah.
Especially
yeah.
with the children involved.
Yes.
Yeah, we take that personally.
This one particular residential investigation that we done, I'm going to just say it was in Denham Springs. We don't release client's information, but me, Lisa, and Sean pulled up right behind our other team members, and us three personally have got sinking feelings, just a dreadful feeling. Didn't want to be there, just want to turn around and go home. Something wasn't right about this place. And by the end of the night, it was proven that something was not right by the people.
Yeah, it wasn't right.
It was horrible. Everything from the time we left the house to the time we got back home that morning, it did not go right. Nothing went right.
No, that is true.
It was like something was preventing us from doing this investigation.
But my experience is in the past that's happened on numerous occasions where we've got a couple team members got a flat tire, and it put us about 2 hours behind. And then another time the GPS just started having a mind of its own when we got within a mile and a half of the place, the house, and kept leading us in different directions and not leading us to the home. And I always find that real weird of how those kind of cases come about, you know, where but when you have multiple cases where something's trying to prevent you from getting there to help the people, it's not coincidence.
When they went back for the second time,
I did not go. I couldn't go. I couldn't do it.
I just couldn't.
It was, and I'm a positive, happy-go-lucky. Nothing really phases me, and I felt very uncomfortable going back, and just couldn't.
When we went back, I was actually heading. I haven't been in a vehicle wreck. The one I had a fender bender in 2007. That was the last one I ever had. When I was going, I was rushing behind. Everything was going wrong, you know. And we're aware of that. That theory you just said, I believe 100%. You know, I texted the guys who were going with me, and I said, look, you know, everything's going wrong today. You know, my equipment's not working. This is happening. I jump in my car, my SUV, and I start heading over to the Catholic Church because we use holy water as far as our cleansing, and we were going to cleanse the crap out of this house, you know. I'm heading over there, and there's road construction, and I pull in, and I look in my rearview mirror, there's nothing there, and I go to back out, and bam, I run into a car, and it came out of nowhere, you know. And it's like, oh, my God, this happened, you know. It's just, you could feel it. Something does not want you there. And to share a little experience, this is actually on YouTube. we were doing a spirit box session, and we were getting the most amazing responses. You can hear them clear as day on there. I'm holding the spirit box, and I'm also holding the K2. And mm-hmm. when I start the session, there was already been activity in the house. There was activity going on before we even started. That's on YouTube, too. The lights are still on, you know. Spirit box is going on. I'm fine. And throughout the whole session, you see me getting more sweaty, more irritating. I take my glasses off. Actually, there's a moment where I, you know, rub my face and my head. And you just see me getting agitated. And as the K2's going off, the intelligent responses, my arm feels like static electricity is going through my fingers into my arm, and I can feel it in my gums and my teeth. Yeah. And
well, to go along with the vehicle thing, if you remember correctly, when we were doing the K2 session, and we had an EVP that said Andy, and one of the members of this family had been in a car accident, and mm-hmm. it turned fatal, and the person who died was Andy, and it was, I mean, Chris was in there, Ryan
yeah.
was in there, and I think we were all just at that point with that family, that certain member of the family, and all of us.
Yeah.
Well,
the
first investigation, and almost all of us team members can verify that it played a devastating role on Chris. Chris didn't really see his whole persona change like we seen it. For a long time, Chris was not being himself, and he didn't see this. And we asked him, Chris, is something wrong? Is something wrong? And Chris was like, no, everything's fine. And we all knew something was wrong with Chris. We think
yeah,
something maybe
when
some kind of negative energy
on him. When a few days go by without a blonde joke or something and text messaging, then something's wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. We got Chris back, though.
I follow, you know, Aaron Goodwin and Zach Baggins from Ghost Adventures, and they go to some of the most haunted places in America, not the world. And they post, and they're honest about after they do investigations. Even the one they did here in New Orleans, after they left, they go through depression stages, and they go through anxiety attacks, and they go through a lot of stuff after they leave. But, you know, it passes, but the negative energy sticks to you.
Yeah.
And we had actually got some EVPs from there, and it was really calling my name out a few times. Ken's digital recorder caught that a couple of times and said my name a couple of times. So I don't know what it was. So, I mean, I didn't realize until way later that it was actually affecting me, you know, and then I kind of took it personally. And when I went back the second time, I was on a mission, you know, it's like I'm coming here. And actually, I spoke to our client yesterday while I was on the road, and you could just hear, because we use dragon's blood with sage. I think Jeremy from Ghost Quest Paranormal, he did the cleansing, and he just does an amazing job of that, you know, and we also read the warfare prayer. And after that, she texts me. She says, there's no activity. You know, everything feels fine. You know, she says, we're actually getting along a lot better. Things are going better. You know, we're like, dude, I talked to her yesterday. And you can just hear the change in her voice. She was upbeat. You know, she was talking to me. She was talking to me. Then she fucked with the dogs for a minute. She came back. And, you know, she's like, look, I'm not used to not having any activity in my home. She's like, this. I'm really happy. Thank you, Chris. You know, and that right there was just, I shared that with Jeremy and we talked, you know, that's why we do this stuff. You know,
help
people. We just want to help people. That's why I'm doing this, you know.
Well,
I've gotten pretty much all the answers that I want out of paranormal investigating. I went through paranormal investigating not even realizing that I could help people, but just had questions, you know, for my own spiritual journey. Now
exactly.
I've gotten most of all the questions I answered. You know, I asked myself, why am I still doing this? And then it was just purely to help people now. So now I'm just not going to stop. It's not going to happen.
We still start.
I find it most interesting, the dynamics of it all. For example, I come from a long line of females who do the same thing I do and will dream when somebody is ill or somebody has passed on, and we all have the same dream, same conversation. but it's always been women. I now have an almost 6-year-old son, and it's been that way his whole life so far. But my daughter, nothing. So I find that the dynamics with the children just, it intrigues me. I love talking to the kids about their experiences. They're open book, and usually they are the best judges of character. And it's just so interesting to go in and meet with these children, and you get a whole new perspective on everything going on. And I find that the most intriguing, especially when you can answer these kids, you can get on their level with them and help them to understand that it's not something to be afraid of, that they can stay an open book. Because a lot of people, you know, they have experiences, they don't say anything because they're going to be labeled. And,
yeah,
you know, these kids, they're learning. They're learning. And we've brought, you know, an educational aspect to it where they don't have to be afraid. They don't have to be quiet about it. It's okay. And it's like starting a new chapter in their book of life. And I find that just overwhelmingly amazing that these children are, I mean, they're just little sponges, and there's so much you can learn from them. And I think every time that we've been somewhere with children involved, I have learned so much just from the kids alone.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, do y'all find when y'all use the ghost box, like, the entire place becomes more active? Like, whenever I use my ghost box and I turn it on, I feel like it is way more active than it was when I had it on, you know?
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
Oh, that's true. You can talk. Nick could really answer a lot of his questions about the spirit box. He, next to the camera, he loves the spirit box, and that's his go-to thing next to the camera.
I'm the same way. I'm a photographer by day, and then I actually finished a 2-year study on a ghost box. Like, I would wake up in the morning, turn the box on for 5 minutes, let it run, and then review that, and then just go on about my day. So I totally respect the ghost box, because I've gotten some stuff that is just crazy. Like, you would not even believe me until you heard it for yourself, you know?
Yeah, I think when you play that demonic voice tonight, that was through the spirit box, and that was long and drawn out. I mean, that was crazy, you know. A couple of things. It's that there's one thing for a skeptic to knock out when you hear, like, a DJ, like, you know, they say that it forms words using the DJ's voice. Okay, that's one thing. You can knock that out. But when you get actual whispers coming through there, that's something else, you know. And it's going sweeping so fast. Nothing can come through there and say, hey, how's it going? Or, my name's Josh, or, you know,
exactly.
Whatever. It's just impossible. It defies the laws of physics. So, we love the spirit box. We actually have a couple of different types ones. I personally love it, and so does Brian Tolan. We love the detuned AM spirit box. It's a BPS-7. Mm-hmm. I even said that right. But
yeah.
It's really quiet when it sweeps. Really quiet when it sweeps on the AM. And I just love it. That's my favorite. You know, you get used to the white noise and the static, you know, but I've personally gotten the best responses from the AMD tune since we've recently, you know, acquired.
Yeah.
I agree. I have the same spirit box.
I actually built my own boxes, but I think those PSB-7s are pretty cool. They have you get responses with the PSB-7. They're not so, like, you know, when you build your own box, you get messages that are like full sentences and paragraphs and stuff like that. But the PSB-7, it's like a direct answer, and that's what I like about them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wow, you build your own boxes. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, that's why I like going out with Nick, because if it was Nick, I wouldn't hear much on the spirit box. He fills me in.
I might see if you can build us one. I always love trying different spirit boxes.
Friend me on Facebook, because, like, usually when I build them, it's, like, kind of stressed out in between, because it takes me a minute to get some of the parts for them. But next time I have parts to build another one, I'll message you back and let you know.
Oh, yeah, just let me know, and I'll order the parts for you, whatever you need, just let me know.
Awesome.
we're always looking for new ways to do things. You know, I feel like if a paranormal investigator stays stuck, you know, 3, 4, or 5 years ago, you know, you're not really getting much. Yeah, you can get your EVPs, you can get this, but, you know, try new equipment, try different things, because we're all evolving in the paranormal field, you know? Imagine what we're going to be
paranormal
at 20 years from now with the technology that's coming out. We'll probably
amazing. In the grand time history of paranormal investigating, it's really still in its infancy. So, you know, at this stage, all you can do is grow and find new ways. You can't, but I think it's pretty amazing that just, you know, in our time, this is technically still in its infancy, and we're already learning so much so early, so quick, that imagine what we can do in 5 years, 10 years, you know, in a short time span, to the point where, you know, maybe all answers can be found.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, if you think about it, 2002, if I'm not mistaken, is when the actual Frank's box was introduced. From 2002 up until now, we've gone from one guy building a box to, you know, people making the PSP-7, other people figuring it out. And it's, I mean, it's 10, 11 years is still a short amount of time for technology to have doubled over like that, you know?
It's amazing.
I can't imagine, you know, 20 years down the line.
I can't wait. I'm excited.
Yeah.
I can wait.
Yesterday, Nick and I, we was around where Chris lives, and we decided to go to Harbor Freight Tools, and I looked at Nick and I said, now, Nick, let's keep an open mind on different things that may work in the paranormal field. You know, it could be as simple as like a little plug-in light, security light that you screw on the edge of your shed. You could use that. You could just take that and plug it into a wall outlet, and there you go. You got a motion detector.
Look,
glass break alarms, you know, you can use them depending on how sensitive it is. You know, any little light sound, if you put it in a room by itself, it'll pick it up and then alarm or sound. So we're always looking for different things, but even unique things to use to expand our equipment.
Yeah, we're really trying different experiments on our investigations as well, too. You know, it's just something that we can do. So we're like, last night we were running bath water because the client had an EVP of a child saying, wash my toes, and it was just like that.
But she
bought the digital recorder. It didn't have a USB cord, so it was really hard for her to get it to me and all that. But when I got there, I heard it. You could hear it clear as day, and she's singing it. So we were, the EVP you're going to hear in a little while, we were in the bathroom, and we were like, you want to take a bath? You know, here we're going to run the water for you. You know, come over here and take a bath. And we just try different experiences. Whatever we can do to get evidence, that's what we do. We've had a lot of problems lately. There's a lot of activities. And then when we film, there's nothing. And we brought that up, and we talked about it. And my theory is, document, you know?
We
all had a personal experiences, you know, we're not, you know. So, but as soon as we record, they don't want to give us anything. I mean, I've seen activity stop right when we hit that record button, you know. Here's a little story for you, and not many people are going to believe this. I was actually with our investigator, John Galtieri, and we were in a bedroom, and we were getting intelligent K2 spikes. I mean, we were having conversations with this thing. And I actually thought it was elemental because I asked it on one of the questions, and we believed it was an elemental. And it said, you know, make the K2 meter light up if you want us to stop recording and turn off all our devices. And it lit up all the way to the red. So we turned everything off. And about 5 minutes later, I'm sitting there, and we're asking questions, and it's killing me that we don't have any, you know, equipment rolling. It's just driving me nuts. So I kind of try to be slick, and I sneak over, and I grab the digital recorder, and I turn it on. And the minute I turn it on, I get a piercing pain in the temple of my head. It almost took me to my knees. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was on the IR cams, too. They can actually see it. I grabbed my head, and I almost fell down. And then John, our investigator, he was next to me, and he says, my forehead. He had a sharp pain in his forehead.
So that was kind of just like, it, we didn't take it as serious as it was, but, you know, after the next day, John and I sat there and talked about it. We were just like, that was amazing. He's like, yeah, ghosts are real. You know? So, you know, that was a crazy experience. It's just something that's kind of like, I don't want to change the subject to Bigfoot. You know, I want to keep it here, but it's kind of like why nobody can capture, you know, evidence of the Sasquatch. It's because, you know, I have a friend, he loves the Sasquatch, and he explains to me why, you know, you can't catch him because he's mischievous, he's intelligent, and all this, and I think it's the same way in the spirit world. I just don't think they want to be found, you know.
Are you sure you're not the Sasquatch?
I'm positive. But I believe, I don't know, I'm waiting on a DNF test to come back. So when DNA samples come back, well, we're going to find out for sure. So hey, Ken, that $20, y'all bet, all right?
Yep. I will gladly pay up.
We're going to take about a five-minute break. The song's about 4 minutes and 52 seconds. So we're going to take a little break, let everybody go to the restroom, whatever they need to do, and we'll be right back. We're going to play some EVPs that y'all sent and talk about them.
All right.
Right.
Sounds great.
Do y'all still talk?
Do what?
get music.
Yay, we get music.
And we are back. And we're here with Paranormal Society of New Orleans. We were discussing the ghost box and different other things in the paranormal earlier, and y'all sent me some EVPs here, so let me find
yep.
them real fast. Let's see. What y'all talked about earlier with the spirit box, here's that demonic voice you were talking about that came through. Here we go.
All right. What's your name?
Nice.
Wow.
Yeah, it still gives me the chills.
Wow. Now, where were y'all at?
Yeah.
Is that a Red Mitchell?
No, yes, that was the same place where we were talking about how it kind of affected me, and we had to go back twice and cleanse the house. That was that one, Denham Springs.
Yeah. That was the same night that we couldn't get organized. We ended up late. We couldn't get set up. The organization
our
was
cams.
Just
we
tonight.
Forgot the our power cord to our cams. We couldn't set up our cams that night.
That was a horrible night, really it was. But we manned it. We stuck together, and we got it done.
Yeah, you know,
the things ended up being that night. All of us bring something to the team. We all have an individual strength, and once we use those all together, we pull it together even when things are not going exactly as planned.
Exactly.
And I think that's what really, really sets us apart from a lot of other groups is that we all know we give each other strength, you know,
mm-hmm.
to do the greater good.
Nice side. And definitely, you know, these things, I call them nasty, Mr. Nasties. These things, you know, when they try to keep you from helping people, then you're going to help them regardless. But they're stupid in a way because they're giving themselves away. Because you know, if they're going
right.
to the extent of trying to keep you away from the homeowners, then you know you got something that's very powerful, very bad, and does not want you
yep.
to help them. So they're kind of giving themselves away in a sense when they do that kind of crap. And I always find that interesting. They want to try to keep their identity quiet as much as possible because they don't want you to find out what they are so that you know how to get rid of them. And
exactly.
then they pull these kind of, yeah, they kind of pull these kind of little tricks, you know. And my experience is we've dealt with some very horrible, nasty, kind of just very powerful, old, inhuman spirits. And, you know, they've gone as far as to attack our personal lives. And, you know, everything in our personal lives just goes to the hell in a handbag while we're
oh, yeah.
helping this client. And, you know, you have to kind of fight through it, you know, because you know that, you know, this thing does not want you to help them. And that's why you do it. You know, you want to help these
mm-hmm.
people. It's not a science. It's not a – we don't have the answers to everything, and we don't have – you know, sometimes we can't help them, you know, as much as we try. We
exactly.
have to reach out to other people and combine resources in order to get them help. So, yeah.
And sometimes it's on the client. The client needs to help themselves.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
If it's not living a positive lifestyle and a very negative lifestyle, there's nothing that
mm-hmm.
we can close the house every day. We can close that door 100 times,
yeah.
and if they don't keep that door closed,
exactly.
they're screwed. You know, they need to meet us halfway on that. So if anybody,
and then,
I,
and another,
go ahead.
I totally agree.
And another.
I just want to say, go ahead, Ken.
I'm sorry about that, but another thing that clients don't know is you know, even though we go in there and cleanse houses and stuff like that, we can get rid of it, it will come back like Chris said. Okay, but it would be more effective if they done it themselves with our assistance. Then that's
yeah.
when you could really get rid of things, because it's your dwelling, it's from your heart, and that's what needs to be done. The clients actually need to do it with our assistance.
Yeah,
we've done that many times.
I was just going to say that, you know, that's another part of residentials. It's not just necessarily going in, cleansing, going in, investigating. You have to become like a counselor. You have to
exactly.
tell these people that you have to, you know, because usually they don't divulge all the information about their personal lives or the family makeup or what's going on in the house until they kind of learn and earn your trust. And then they'll start
mm-hmm.
divulging more things the more you talk
yeah.
to them. And,
uh-huh.
you know, it's one of those things you have to educate. You have to educate them and tell them, look,
uh-huh.
this is your home. You have to take control of the house. You have to set boundaries. You have to cut out the fear factor. You got to cut out the anger. You got to do some changes in y'all's lives in order for this thing to go. Because like you said, you can blast them out with sage, but they'll come right back in, you know. And
exactly.
I tell them all the time, you can't keep inviting them in. I told one client one time, because I kept getting frustrated with them, and I had to tell them blunt, look, the Pope himself can't cleanse your house unless you and your family fix what's going on in the house. You guys
That's
got
true.
To help. You got to help yourselves.
And that's right.
Oh,
and
no.
cleansing is only as effective as honesty.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, just with like the Denham Springs, I think that's probably what made me sense about the situation. But what was actually going on in the residence was contributing to. I mean, it was almost like one member of the family was inviting these not
yeah.
great things in their home, and going back, they're still, you know, something has changed because they haven't changed. And I think that was one of the biggest hurdles, especially for you, Chris. I know how frustrated you were going back out and doing this for the family and then knowing what was going on their personal level. And you can't help somebody that's not willing to help themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I think these things, they do feed and thrive off of ignorance a lot of times. Say, like, addictions, just not knowing how to deal with these things that enter their home, you know, if they're addicts or stuff and things like this, that makes them a weak person that breaks down their spiritual beliefs, it breaks down their faith. So it makes them very vulnerable for these things to feed off of these people. And until they acknowledge what's wrong and let guys like us know the truth, well, you know, things can't be fixed.
Yeah, and, you know, when you're a paranormal investigator, you got to be blunt a lot of times with the client and really, you know, tell them, especially if it's something that all of a sudden their house, you know, it could be a newer home, all of a sudden they got crazy activity. They got poltergeist activity, stuff being moved, doors opening, closing, those kind of things, and you got to tell them, look, that just doesn't happen out of clear blue. A spirit, even a human spirit, they just don't decide, oh, I'm going to pop into this house and scare the hell out of people. There has
yeah.
to be some kind of source somewhere. There's got to be something that has happened. Somebody in the family has done something or dabbled into something and opened the door to the spirit world, and now they got activity. And, you know, and then finally they'll finally divulge, oh, well,
we decided one night to get drunk and play with a Ouija board. Well, there you go. There's
yep.
your source. Do you know
there
how to
is.
Use one? No, I don't. Well, nothing happened with the board. I said, well, that doesn't matter. It's your intent, and you open that door. I said, think about if you open
That's
the
correct.
Front door to your house, and you left your front door to your house wide open, eventually somebody in the neighborhood is going to walk by and look in the house or walk in.
Yep.
And I said, that's the same way in the spirit world. You open that door, somebody's going to eventually go, oh, check this out, and come on in. And, you know, and it's one of those things where these, you know, with the added TV shows and movies and everything, it's kind of put people in that state of mind of, oh, there's ghosts, there's spirits, you know. Hey, it'd be cool to try to have some activity here, you know, or contact somebody, or I want to talk to my deceased grandmother. Well, for every spirit that you're trying to contact, there's even evil ones. The demonic, they know everything about your grandmother. They know everything about you. And so if you're trying to contact your grandmother and you don't actually make contact with her, you could be actually talking to a demonic spirit that knows everything about your grandmother, and you just keep talking to it and talking to it and talking to it, and boom, now it's in your house. And, you know, so if you don't
right.
know what you're doing, you know, and that, it, we all put ourselves in danger every day, just doing EVP sessions or K2 or ghost spot sessions.
Yep.
They're all forms of opening those doors. And for us as
mm-hmm.
investigators, we have to know how to shut them down. And, you know, so, yeah, it's a lot of education. There's a lot of ignorance out
mm-hmm.
there. And I tell people all the time, even with human spirits, people that were once alive and walking this earth, even human spirits, if you're an asshole when you're on this earth, you're an asshole in the spirit world. Your energy, your personality goes with you to the other side. I mean, there's just
mm-hmm.
no way. You guys know with contacting different type of spirits, their personalities go with them. So if you have this human spirit that was a bully and an ass when he was walking this earth, if he's in a house, he's going to pick the weakest one out of that family and
that's
pick on
correct.
Him, just like a bully would in real life, because that's what bullies do.
That
they pick
correct.
On the weak. And so that's where we come in and have to take these people that are vulnerable. And especially kids. Kids are so wide open. They're so wide open because they don't know the difference. You know, no one has told them what's real and what's not. And, what you know, their imaginations just go crazy. So that's why kids a lot of times get picked on by these malevolent spirits, which I think is, you know, if I could change into a ghost at that point and kick that spirit's ass, I would, because I think it's horrible that they pick on kids and try to torment them because of the fact they're so open and they don't know
that's
right
true.
From wrong a lot of
yeah.
times.
They're naive and gullible, and a lot of times that's how I believe that's how things enter the home as well. They'll, you know,
yeah.
I believe that evil or demonic force could present itself to be whatever you want it to be. And then once this child
yeah.
says, hey, I got me a new little friend, let's play, he's inviting it in, and that's all it takes. Now,
yeah.
that's my personal opinion.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you know, it's not just about the parents. It's also about the children,
mm-hmm.
and that's the easiest door to open as a child.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Now, I have a couple more EVPs here. Let's see. I have one that says, I am alone. What investigation
yeah,
that, is
this? Yeah, that was slightly hard to hear. That was actually caught at Ken's place. And it was Lisa Wiggins, Ryan Tong, and myself. And we were asking if there were any other spirits there or trying to ask them some things. And that response we got.
Okay. Let's see here. Where'd it go?
Okay, here it is.
Are you a spirit that we have not recognized yet or met?
Yeah, it's kind of faint, but I heard it.
Yeah, the other ones aren't like that. That's probably the worst one in the group. But if you, but you could definitely hear it. It's there.
Yeah, it's there.
So you can play the spirit box girl. That's a really good one right there. And then the other two were the ones from last night.
I have one that says bath.
Yes, I remember we were talking about the bath, how we were doing different, like trying to. We're all in the bathroom. It was one female investigator and four males, and we were trying to talk to the child spirit there. And one thing, the resident had caught an EVP on their digital recorder saying, "Wash my toes." So we were in there trying to get it to talk, and this is what we got.
Okay.
Take a nice little bath.
You can hear that one pretty good.
Nice, yeah.
Take a nice little bath.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So, definitely, I actually got her, I just posted that, I just discovered that one today, because we knew that, but I actually got her crying. And this next one you're going to hear, I had the spirit box on, and there was just me and Jeremy from Ghostbusters Paranormal in there. This is when he got punched in the face, I think, 3 minutes after this, or slaps. I had my shirt tugged during this time, and the energy in the air. And it was like we were talking about the spirit box earlier. He turned out, everything was okay. We could feel something what was uneasy about the place. As soon as we turned the spirit box on, that's when everything started to light up. And I don't really get afraid or scared on investigations. It's been a long time. When I first started doing this, yeah, I used to get pretty scared. But last night, I became afraid. And you're actually going to, the one that you hear is lead being grabbed, that's when we actually hear it in our voices, that we were both afraid.
All right.
What the fuck?
Yeah, that's just a little part of what was going on. I mean, that was kind of hard to hear. But you hear the little girl scream. You hear her scream, "Stop it." And now I really don't know if that came from the spirit box or if it was a disembodied voice. You want to play it again? Try and hear it.
Yeah. I'm going to turn the volume down just a tad. Maybe we can hear it better.
Well, I enhanced my software problem. I've done that.
Okay.
What the fuck? Okay. You alright? What? Can you grab my leg?
Yeah, you can hear it.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, you can.
Yeah.
Now, I got my friend Jody, who I host on this network on Tuesday nights, Terrify Radio, she was at an event, since we're talking about the ghost box. Let me find it here. There it is. This was a hack shack that you used to buy at Radio Shack. And she had this thing, this ghost box, for like a year, and nothing ever came really through it. And they were in, I believe, Alabama or Georgia at an event, and there's a lot of people in the room, and she was doing this ghost box, and you'll definitely hear this one. This is crazy.
Do the other men here bother you?
And we will skin you alive.
Oh!
Get out.
Crap.
Now, you notice how all the static stops.
Yeah.
You notice how the static stops, okay?
Can you play it one more time?
Yeah, it's and she said once that voice came through, when it stopped scanning and it came through, the ghost box completely died. All the battery energy was gone.
That is insane.
Do the other men here bother you?
And we will skin you alive.
Did it say I'll skin you alive?
Yeah.
I've never heard a voice come through like that. It's always been, I've never heard a direct I will skin you. I've never heard that. That's
strange. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
Amazing.
If you want to play the other one I sent you, the girl responds, that's with the spirit box, and you can actually hear, this is actually what we catch when we have paranormal activity that comes through. It's pretty crazy.
Let's see. I got to see if I got it. Because I was trying to get them all uploaded.
Yeah.
All I got is those four. Did you send a fifth one?
Was it Girl Response? Is that on there?
No. I don't have that one.
Okay. Let me see if I can just shoot it to you real quick. You know, but yeah, that's definitely some crazy evidence right there.
Now, let's see. This is a location where we had a lot of activity, and we had 56 EVPs happened before the investigation happened, before we even started. We were setting up, and this gentleman decided to hang out at home base for most of the night. And I'm talking to my dad about something on the DVR screen, and this spirit decides to chime in.
You got 30 there. Oh, shit.
I heard that.
If you hear that, I say something to my dad, and he says, oh, and the spirit says, shit.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually just sent that one to you, so you should have it.
Okay. Oh, I see it. Well, let me download while we're waiting on that.
I still can't get over that. I'll send you a five.
Yeah.
We'll skin you alive.
She said that ever since that skin you alive came about, her ghost box, every time she turns it on, it just won't shut up. And she's had some pretty crazy things that has come through that ghost box. And that's just a inexpensive hack check, you know.
Sometimes the simple's the best, you know. You can't get them anymore. You got it. They changed the pins, the ribbons, but you can actually find a way to hack that one now with a toggle switch. But it switched too fast.
I think somebody figured out how to hack the new 587, but you have to actually solder two pins together, and it just doesn't. It's not as good as the
it's
old
not,
ones.
Not.
Now we have if you really want to try some things with a spirit box, we've done some really crazy experiments with them. Martin, at one point, we were going somewhere, and I told Martin to try to find out all the information about where we were going, state, city, the whole nine yards. And everybody kept quiet. No one knew where we were going. And Martin, being in Dallas, he fired up his ghost box at the same time that we turned ours on. So we had like a direct link. And I'll shit you not, he got every bit of information about where we were at, state, city, and name of location.
through his ghost box, and he was texting us the information. And at one point, one of the team members dropped his phone because he was just like, "Holy crap, dude! How did he find out all that information?"
Yeah, it was a crazy night for sure. And it's weird because we live like 2 hours apart from each other, and then you guys drove to a location 6 hours away from me. Just to pull that kind of information is just crazy to me.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, what other piece of equipment do y'all use besides the ghost box?
Well, we have pretty much we have it all. We have a IR surveillance DVR system. We have 4 IR night shot cameras, handy cams that we use, Melmeter, 2K2s, 4-digit recorders. I mean, we go in with everything that we possibly can. You know, there's some things out there like we're about to get the REM pod. We're about to get that. See a lot of good things happening with that. That's basically our equipment. Motion sensors. Don't forget.
A buddy of ours makes, he calls them periscopes, and basically they're static detectors.
Yes.
And
we
have light
static
up. And
we don't have that. Kim wanted to get that. We talked about that a few weeks ago about getting one of those.
Building some.
Nice.
Yeah,
we also have a lot of EM pumps.
I highly recommend getting a periscope. It's like my favorite piece of equipment when we go out.
Wow. Really?
I've seen them online, and I've been very interested in it. And me, I'm all about taking these things from the basic design and altering them. I actually came up with an EM pump, and I put a rheostat on it. And my theory was the faster you could turn the magnets, the more EMFs it put off, correct?
Yeah, yeah.
There's also
Kid, he made one time out of a model. He used the propellers from his helicopter model.
Uh-huh.
And remote controller. And when you turn that thing on, it watches, it goes, wah!
Yep. And
I'm like, it's loud, but it's pumping, ain't it? You know?
Yeah.
You get to you turn it on, you get to K2 meter. Within 2 feet, you start getting a reading from it. 2 foot.
You guys want to know a secret? I actually, you know those little small ones that everybody's, you know, saying that they're like the first team to ever sell them? I actually created that probably 4 years ago. And
oh, wow.
To be honest, it was weird because I just stumbled across the whole magnet thing, and I was like, man, this is awesome. Well, when everybody else was popping up with them, and they're saying that, oh, yeah, I get, you know, 4 feet distance, 5 feet distance, I was like, you know what? I want to see if I can get further, you know? You can actually buy a magnet that's, I think it's like an inch in diameter that's like a ball.
Yes.
And if you can put that on a motor and get that to spin, I kid you not, man, you will get about like 6 feet of EMF from that thing.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Because those magnets are so super strong, like it's crazy. Like it's crazy how far out that'll throw a magnet or how far out of a magnetic field that thing will throw out. So you should try it out. Just grab one of those.
Okay.
I think it's like an inch and a quarter bearing the neodymium magnet or something like that.
Yeah, that's what
I use. Worth it, man. Totally worth it if you can find one. Yep.
Yeah,
they're
easy to find.
Yeah, yeah.
My high powered EMF pump that I got that starts reading at 2 foot, I have 4 quarter by quarter by quarter magnets in it, the neo,
whatever
they call it. Yeah, that's only 4 of them.
Yeah.
And the more magnets you have, the stronger your field's going to be.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And then you're going to pay like $35 for this single magnet, but if you want a super high and a super high EMF field, it's like the way to go. And it makes you feel weird when you turn it on. You're like, man, something's not right here.
Well, Chris got to stay away then. He's very receptive to EMF. It drains him like nobody's business.
I'm hypersensitive to EMF, so.
Yeah.
I've actually had a case where we walked into this house, and it was they had cell phone towers in the backyard and power lines right next to their house, and the Mel meter was rising to 20, not a 2.0, but a 20 on there.
Nice.
And the whole time we were there, sweating, I was paranoid. Like, I'm standing in the hallway talking to somebody in the living room, and I'm looking over my shoulder, you know, and I knew I was nauseous, stuff. I couldn't wait to get out of there. I could not. Even when we went back to reveal the evidence, I was like, I couldn't stay in there. I was like, all right, well, you got your evidence. Like, bye. You know, they're sitting there talking about Halloween and stuff. I'm like, I'm ready to get the hell out of here, you know?
Right.
Yeah, so I was kind of hypersensitive. Not too bad. I know some people are really, really bad. But I just, if EMF's around, I could kind of feel it, you know?
Yeah. A while back, I had actually created something. So it was actually more out of a request. But I created something that I call Entity Storm. And basically, the basic proponent behind it is to create an environment that's the same as a thunderstorm without, you know, the electricity and the thunder. And so I was doing research, and during a thunderstorm, most energy that is being put off is positive ion. And so
yes.
I built a positive ion generator, and then I also included an EM circuit. Like, it's an EM pump, but it's not involved using magnets. It's actually circuit based, and this EM pump was putting off probably about like 4 feet in every direction, and it would straight flatline a millimeter. Like, your millimeter would turn off around it.
Wow.
I kid you not, man. We tried it out at Old South Pittsburgh Hospital. We put it on the third floor, and I just let it run by itself for about a good two hours. We went upstairs, and it was so thick up there. I was like, man, I cannot. I was like, I felt scared just being on the third floor. I was like, it just feels like we're feeding something, you know? It's like, I feel like there's like 100 people up here just waiting to get me.
Yeah. That's what EMF causes. Natural EMF causes in people who are like hypersensitive to it. And people who are not, if you just put them in a whole bunch like that, it causes nausea, it causes paranoia, it can even cause hallucinations, and, you know.
Do you know why?
It's
because your body naturally produces electricity, and what it's doing is interfering with that electricity.
Yep.
Yeah.
Keep the conductors in your brain and stuff. Yeah, I'll figure that along.
your body runs off a DC current, like, naturally.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I got that other EVP.
Good.
Oh, okay,
yeah,
cool.
You're going to enjoy this one.
All right.
Turn that device on. Will that help you? Yes or no?
Nice.
Yeah, see, that's usually what we get, you know, when we get direct whispers right through there. It's kind of like an enhanced EVP, you know, through the digital recorder.
Yeah, it's like... I mean, I know there's skeptics out there. They're like, "Oh, it's just radio noise, blah blah blah." How do you explain away a whisper? You know, people don't get on the radio and just whisper.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. Yeah, so
it's crazy.
Oh, well. So what? What do y'all got going on the rest of the year? I know y'all do a lot of residentials. You got anything
else
y'all
are planning
on doing?
Well, yes, we got some. We got Southdown Plantation, which I talked about earlier, coming up. We're going to be doing that in July, or this month, actually. Next month, we haven't announced it yet. We just did the meeting yesterday, but we're going to be doing the Lafitte Guest House on Bourbon Street pretty soon.
Yeah.
We can't disclose the date or time or anything like that. We got big plans, you know. We'll go out there and we'll look for little plantations and stuff like that, and we'll get a few of those. But like I said, our backbone is residential, so that's mainly what we're going to be doing through New Orleans, out New Orleans, and Central
Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and all that.
And getting me to state.
With the Southbound Plantation, I talked with Chris and asked him if he could get Jeremy with Ghost Cliff Paranormal to join us because this guy is totally amazing. And
13,000 square feet, yeah? Is that it?
It's 10,000 square foot, not including the attic, which I would love to get my hands on.
Yeah, and also some other plans that we're going to be doing. We're going to be doing some charity events. We got some stuff. We've been reaching out to other groups in New Orleans, and we've gotten great responses. We're going to be for Halloween. We're going to be setting something up. It's in the works to do charity event. Plus, our very own Megan is Miss New Orleans. We're going to try and get her to state. So,
we're going to sponsor
her and get that going. And we also are going to pick some charities, and we're just going to help out. You know, whole theme, our whole direction is just to help people. Anyway.
One of the great things about New Orleans is, in our area, is everybody is always doing something for somebody else, and it's so easy to get involved, and it's so appreciated. I mean, just recently with everything in Oklahoma, we had a huge outpouring of donations, and U-Haul donated trucks. But I think that's one of the most amazing things about not only what we do, but what our community does, is it's a team, a community, everybody involved in everything. And there's no shortage of, if you want to do any kind of event or benefit fundraiser for any kind of charity, the support is just, it's huge. It's overwhelming.
Well, what we're also doing is with these charitable events, we're teaming up with Ghost Quest Paranormal, and we're going to unite. We're going to make one solid paranormal team, and we're going to get out there. We're going to kick butt. We're going to raise some money for real good causes, and I hope it's very successful.
Nice.
That's awesome. You know, that's one thing about the paranormal field. There needs to be, there never will be, but, you know, there's teams everywhere that try to do as much as they can, working with other teams and have some kind of unity. And that's just the key to moving forward and learning from, you know, everyone is working with other teams.
Exactly.
And Not having complexes, thinking that you're better than someone else, you know, because there's a lot of that goes on, not only in the paranormal, but anything in life. That's the way it is.
I've been with a couple other groups, and I know how it is. And I know the drama, and a lot of people think of it as a competition, you know, and to me, it's not a competition. You know, we're all here for one thing. And we're actually on, you know, we talked with Jeremy from Ghost Quest Paranormal. He's the founder of them. And what we're doing is we're just reaching out to everybody, you know, and say, hey, you know, no matter if there's any problems, just any bickering, you know, just put your egos and pride aside and, you know, let's go and help some people and learn and get better. Because if we get better and they get better, more people are going to be helped. And that's the thing.
Exactly.
And let's just do it, you know. We got groups around here that are like that don't want nothing to do with any other groups. And, you know, it's sad, but it's okay. You can still go do your own thing, but it's not going to stop me from reaching out to other groups and continuing to advance in the field and for charity work.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah,
I can't think of a better team to team up with than Ghost Quest Paranormal. Jeremy, like I said earlier, he's an amazing guy. He's got mad skills. He's got awesome ideas. And with us three, with me, Chris, and Jeremy, including Megan on this, because we're like the head of the team, you put us together, and we're going to be an unstoppable force.
Nice.
I can guarantee that, you know.
Yeah, Jeremy's one of the best investigators I've ever met. You know,
I agree.
He goes out there, and he's truly, you know, I've learned so much from him, and he's truly crafted in his skill, you know.
Plus, even though he's younger than me, he's knowledgeable.
Yeah, He's just got that personality that you gotta love him, you know. He's just got.
Oh, definitely, you know.
You always know if he's on the phone because you're gonna hear, "Well, hello."
Hey, if you're listening, Jeremy, we love you, brother.
Yeah.
Well, we're winding down to the last 8 minutes of the show. Any websites or anything, if people want to get a hold of you or learn more about your team?
Yeah. You can get a hold of us at Paranormal Society New Orleans on Facebook. We have a website, www.paranormalsocietynewOrleans.com. Our emails are on there. You can look up Jeremy at Ghost Quest Para, all the same word. Well, it's Ghost Quest, same word, space, and Para. And you can find us on YouTube at Paranormal NOLA. And you can check out all our videos and everything. So it's not hard to get in touch with us if you need something. Or if you just have a question.
Yeah.
We love people to come in and just start a conversation. You know, never know who we can learn from.
Hey, oh, yeah. We have one of our friends that is a host of one of the shows on this network on Friday nights, Paranormal Access Radio. Amy, she lives in New Orleans, and we were all on air.
Yeah, Chris
Tuesday.
Taylor was the host of that show. You were actually scheduled
yeah,
to be
Chris
on that
Taylor,
on
yeah.
July 5th. Yeah, he's a great guy. I had a long conversation with him, and he's a great guy. You know, we talk a lot. So yeah, we're actually going to be on
yeah.
on his show July 5th.
Cool. Yeah, Amy, she was talking about the other day, well, we had a year celebration last Tuesday of the network, and she's shopping around right now down there in New Orleans trying to find a team to join. So I'll tell her to chat with y'all.
Yeah. Chris and I talked about that a little bit. You know, we got some things in the works, so should be more revealed when we talk again. So a lot of things are in motion in this place, so. Should work out
for
everybody.
Sweet. Well, I appreciate you guys and gals coming on the show tonight.
Hey, we appreciate you. It was fun. We loved it.
Yes, thank you very much for having us.
Yeah, later on in the year, we'll have to get you back on and see how things have been going for you guys.
I'm sure we'll have some interesting topics to talk about.
Don't we always?
Yeah, we always do. Yeah.
Well, you guys have a great night, and it was a pleasure talking to you guys.
Same here.
Yeah,
take care.
Too, bro.
Thank you
take
so
care.
Much.
Awesome. You're welcome.
Right.
All right. Good show tonight.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Let me go to the other room real quick because my dog is starting to act crazy.
Yeah, it's good to meet some new people out in the field, and they're definitely doing some great work.
Oh, yeah, man, for sure. They have some pretty good EVPs, man.
Yeah. And they're definitely on the right track when it comes to helping people and what they do. So I applaud them and continue the work that they're doing to help people out there. You know, because we come across a lot of people that have teams that really don't have a clue to what they're doing.
Oh, yeah, that's for sure, man. And, you know, I know we're all still learning in this field, but some people almost like, just are ignorant to trying new things, you know?
Oh, exactly. And next Sunday on the show, we have Joe Kudo from Skeptical Edge Radio.
Oh,
he'll
cool.
be on the show. Yeah. Tuesday on Terrify, right now we don't have a guest, so hopefully Jody will come up with something for Tuesday. Tomorrow is Into the Darkness Radio Full Spectrum Style with Matt and Dennis from Full Spectrum. They also have taken over Into the Darkness right now because Brittany is trying to take care of her
her life and got a lot of things going on, school, work, you know, the whole nine yards. So,
yeah.
Matt and Dennis have taken over Monday nights. Yeah, man, when you get a chance, you'll have to go back and listen to the Hoopla show last Tuesday, because that, man, that was great. It was awesome. It was funny
sweet,
as hell.
Man, yeah. I'm going to download it tonight.
I even pulled out the old quizzes from when we did quizzes about Jeff.
Nice.
The old multiple question, what would Jeff do question?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. They were pulled out of retirement.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we're talking about sometime in the future of Scott Grunwald hasn't been on this show yet. I'm going to have to work on him. He's been on it. He's like the pair, you know, he come up with a shirt pair of horror. Well, he's the horror of the network, because he's been on just about every show on the network. And
right.
we're going to try to get him. One of the shows is going to book him, and all the hosts are going to come on that show, and we're going to do a roast of him. Because he'll love
nice.
It. And it'll be very, very, very funny.
Oh, that's going to be awesome.
Yeah, for once, Jeff will be the object of everybody's jokes.
Right.
So, you know, Jeff, I hope you're recovering from when Elvis took a run at your ass this weekend.
Nice.
You're pulling out those blue suede shoes out of your butthole right now, aren't you? I just had to say it. Jeff's not here to defend himself. So if he goes back and listens to the archives, he will get that message.
Nice.
But that's pretty much it for tonight. I'm going to go ahead. We got about a minute and a half. Well, I'm going to shut down the show, play us out, and we will talk to everybody next week right here on the Unknown Radio. Right here on the URN Radio Show. It's changed
awesome.
Names, and we are here on the URN Radio Network. If you actually say it out, it's earn.
Oh, yeah, it is. It sure is. Nice.
Yeah. So we will talk to everybody again next Sunday. Good night,
awesome.
Everybody.
Have a good night, everybody.